We're starting from the bottom of Gimel Amud Bet. We're entering into the sugya of Ate Ase V'Docha Lo Tase, a very important sugya about whether a mitzvah Ase overrides a mitzvah Lo Tase, what's the source. We'll talk a little bit about it, where it comes from, what the meaning is, what it means when that happens. We ended yesterday, by the way, I was rushing through the end. I just wanted to go through the last sentence of the Braita, was Azhara Shamanu Onesh Minayin. They wanted to know, where do we have an Azhara for the fact? We have an Azhara. We learned that Achot Isha, right? And we took that whole drasha of Achot Isha. We learned from there that the woman can't marry the Tzara can't marry the number one, if it's an Isha or Erva, the woman herself can't marry the Yabam. Then if she's Poter Hatzarot, then she's Poter Hatzarot. Then we learned from there to all the other Arayot. And then we were left with, that all teaches us an azhara, but there's no onesh in that pasuk. So where do we need always an azhara and an onesh? So we learn it from this pasuk. I just didn't stress this, but the pasuk at the end that they learn it from is ki kol asher yaseh mikol ha-tovot ha'ele, and it says v'nechretu ha-nefashot v'nechretu. I don't remember the rest of the pasuk, but it talks about karet there. And basically, what's important about that pasuk is that it's the end pasuk of the whole Arayot section. We actually darshan this pasuk before, if you remember. We darshan once the first pasuk and the end pasuk. There's these summary pasukim, and they say that pasuk, it's a general, right, onesh mita on all sorts of people, and so they say, that must be going to these cases. That's what's coming, to give an onesh, because it already said all the onashim by all the cases, right? So why did it say this again? So they say, it must be to include all these cases. Okay, now, basically, what we've learned until now is that there's a drasha that shows that you don't do yibum when there's Isur Arayot. So the Gemara says, Ta'ama, the reason why is the Kata Brahmana Aleha. The whole reason why you don't do this yibum is because there's a special drasha. Halav Hachi, now we're going to have a whole sugya based on if it weren't for the drasha, okay? We need a drasha because if it weren't for the drasha, what would we have said? We would have assumed that she does do Yibum, even though it's Isur Arayot. And why would that be? My time. Why would we assume without a drasha that she would actually do Yibum? Okay, that's what they say. They say it must be that, right, remember this, we're saying, obviously we have a drasha, and obviously we don't do it. But if we didn't have a drasha, let's put it this way. You need the drasha. Without the drasha, you would have said, Ate ase v'decha lo tase. Okay, so then the Gemara says, wait, but imor damrina na ate ase v'decha lo tase greda. It's with a regular lo tase, but lo tase sheyesh bo karet mi dache. Could it really be doche? It's not doche an isor karet. It's doche a regular isor. Okay, and therefore, they kind of reject this line of thinking that, it would have been doche. They're kind of saying it wouldn't be. I'm trying to think. I don't really think they answer this question. Unless they're going to answer it later on. Maybe we just get so sidetracked and then eventually they come back to it. I don't know. For sure in RDF, we're not going to get an answer to this question. Okay? So now, and as we have, what's the reason? They give a reason, but then they reject the reason. They say that reason doesn't apply when there's Isur Karet. What is Ate Ase V'Docha Lo Tase? Okay, well, maybe we'll go on a little bit more, and then we'll stop and ask about it. So, the Gemara now asks a further question. V'tu, lo tase gre daminalan. Where do we learn that an ase is doche lo tase in general, in a regular lav, not a karet one? Minan d'dache, d'chtiv, lo tilbash shatnez, gedilim ta'aselecha. Okay, we have smichut parshiot. Okay, this is, we have in Dvarim Perakaf Bet, Yud Aleph Yud Bet. The Pasuk says, Lo tibash shatnez, semer ufishtin yachdav. We're going to darshan the Pasuk a lot today. Gedilim ta'aseh lecha al arba kamfok sutcha, asher techaseh ba. Okay, what do we have here? Smichu parshiot of tzitzit and of shatnez, isur shatnez. And we learn from there that you're allowed to make tzitzit out of shatnez, right? To be mekayim the mitzvah of tzitzit, it's allowed to be shatnez, a mixture of tzemer and fishtim. Okay. There's a lot of things to talk about here. I want to stop for a minute and start talking about this ase dachalot ase. There's a few different ways of looking at it. Okay. One is that when there's a mitzvah aseh, let's put that, either there's a struggle here. On the one hand, you're supposed to do something. On the other hand, you're not allowed to do something in order to do the something. So what do we say? So either we say we push off the lo taseh. It's less important. And then you have to say, why is it less important, right? Usually we say the lo taseh are very strong, right? And why should they be more important than aseh? If you do a lo taseh, you get a punishment. If you do an aseh, let's say you just don't do a mitzvah aseh, nothing happens, right? Except for two mitzvot. Which are those? Do you remember? Brit Milah and Korban Pesach. Those are the two that you get karet if you don't do them, okay? The two big ones. A lot of comparisons between the two because of that. So basically, what do you have here? You have the importance. So some of them, there's one answer that's given that the mitzvah aseh, you're supposed to do out of ahava. And the mitzvah lo taseh, you're supposed to do, you do out of fear, right? You're scared you're going to get a punishment. And obviously the higher level is to do it me ahava. And that's why the aseh overrides the lo taseh. That's one way of looking at it. The other way of looking at it is, and you know, again, you could. What the main way that I'm saying here, you could, whether you explain it away as ahava nira or not, but the main way is that the ase comes and pushes off the lo taseh because it's more important. The other option is to say, it's almost like you think about hilchot Shabbat, right? You can describe Shabbat as you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do that, you can't do that, right? Or you can describe Shabbat in positive terms. It's a day where we rest and we get to do other things. You know, there's all sorts of ways of, it's the way you look at it. So obviously we'd rather look at the positive spin. That's why the positive ends up having more, more significance. On the flip side, the other approach, and we had this, this comes up all the time, like with Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur. Remember on the, when the Korban Pesach and everyone's Tumayim, and we say it's Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur, and then they say, is it Dechuya or is it Hutra? How do you look at it? So it's the same thing here. When it's Dache Lo Taseh, does it push it off? Or do you say that when there's a mitzvah aseh to be Mekayim, there just isn't a Lo Taseh? In other words, the mitzvah aseh were given, or let's put it this way, the mitzvah lo taseh were given only when you're doing regular things, not when you're being mekayim a mitzvah. There's almost no room for them. They just don't appear. So that's what they're saying. In other words, there's an Easter to do shatnez, but it doesn't apply when you're mekayim a mitzvah. There's no love at all. So those are two different approaches of how to look at it. Okay, so now the other thing that's going on here is that we're going to see a whole bunch of psukim that come up in Sefer Dvarim. Now we know, okay, this is a little bit on a different tangent. Sefer Dvarim has a lot of repetition from the rest of the Torah. And there's all different approaches to how you look at it, right? Going from, you know, let's say, take the academics who say it was written by a different author, okay? Or the biblical criticism. So the rabbis also struggled with the duplicity. It wasn't just the biblical critics who noticed, oh, these things come up in two different places and, you know, and they're mentioned differently. So this, a lot of what we're going to do today is going to talk about a few things that appear in Sefer Dvarim, repeat things in a different way, and how the rabbis reconciled the fact that it was repeated. So the main thing we're going to see today is that they used it as an opportunity to darshan smuchim. They said, if it's being repeated here, it must be repeated because they want to learn something from it. So they're saying the fact that tzitzit, its usual place is right after the meraglim in Parshat Shlach and Sefer Bamidbar. So the fact that it appears again here, and Shatnez appears in Vayikra, and then it appears again here in Dvarim. So why are they together? So they say, it must be to teach us some other halach of smuchim. Okay? And that, the smuchim here teaches us that ate aseh v'dacha lo taseh. V'amar Rabbi Elazar, smuchim min haTorah minayim. Where do we learn that the smuchim min haTorah? Shneemar, here's a pasuk from Tehillim, which clearly is not talking about smichut parshiot. Okay? The pasuk says, smuchim la'ad la'olam, asuyim be'emet v'yashar. So the darshan here, because smuchim comes up in, the word smuchim comes up in the pasuk next to emet v'yashar, say, smuchim must be emet v'yashar, okay? So lidrosh, smichut parshiot, is the truth. V'amar sheshet, amar Rabbi Elazar, mishum Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, minayin liyivama shenafla lefnei mukashchin, she'en chosminota, sheneemar, lo tachsom shor bidisho. Okay, what's going on here? If a woman falls to Yibum with a person who's full of boils all over, okay, so she is supposed to marry this guy with boils, do Yibum with him, and she doesn't want to. So how do we learn she'ein chosmim ota? Now here, they obviously use the word chosmim because they're going to learn it from lo tachsom shor b'disho. Okay, but it really means, what does it mean, ein chosmim ota? The real word should be, we don't cause her to be an aguna. Right? We don't force her to be, what happens? If she doesn't want to do yibum and she doesn't want to do chalitza, so she's stuck. She can't marry anybody else. That's what we talked about, right? She has to marry this guy. So, or, right, either marry or do chalitza. If she refuses to do both, she's basically stuck. And why she can't marry anybody else. Chalitza? What?
Why would a woman...
So, for whatever reason, she doesn't want to do it. Okay? She's just unwilling. Or maybe they're saying she doesn't even need to. That's what they're saying here, really. If he's a mukachin and she doesn't want to do yibum with him, and for whatever reason doesn't want to do chalitza, she's right. It's null and void. She doesn't need to. Okay? There's a total p'tur. How do we learn this? Because the pasuk lo tachsom shor b'disho, which means that when you're taking your animals to plow the fields, you can't prevent them. You can't be chosem their mouth, right? You can't put a muzzle. Thank you. You can't put a muzzle on so that they can't eat while they're doing their work. And next to that pasuk comes ki yeshvor yachim yachdav, which is yibum. So they learn that there's a mikre, there's a case where we don't say the woman has to do yibum. En chosmin ota. That's what they learn from smichu parshiyot. Okay, so now, what do they say? Va'am Rav Yosef, afilu leman delo darish smuchim ba'alma. Now we're going to learn that there are some people who don't darshan smuchim. Maybe that's why I need that pasuk to say, right? It's emet v'yashar, because not everybody agreed that it was emet v'yashar. Some people don't darshan smuchim. We're going to see it's Rabbi Yehuda. He wasn't darshaning smuchim, but b'mishneh Torah darish. But he did darshan them in Sefer Dvarim. Okay, now here there's a big question about whether he meant specifically Sefer Dvarim, because Sefer Dvarim has a unique... It's different from all the books of the Torah. That seems to be the pshat here, right? That Sefer Dvarim has its own, and maybe that's part of what they were talking about, you know, again, not that biblical critics existed then, but like against the biblical criticism, you know, it's to say it has a unique nature, and that part of it is that you can darshan smuchim, that it has room for drashot. But, or, other people say, no, it just happens to be that the cases, we're going to see two of the cases, maybe those are all, maybe it's not, I don't know. But there's two cases where Yehuda did darshan smuchim, and the Gemara is going to explain why specifically in these two cases. That's why the second approach seems maybe like it's also a possibly better approach, because in the end, the Gemara is going to say, why did he darshan each of these cases? And they're going to say, because there was a unique something about these cases that caused him to darshan it. In which case, it doesn't sound like it's necessarily specifically because it was a Mishnah Torah. It's more that these two cases happen to be in Mishnah Torah, and those are the cases he darshan. So you could say it's either because it was a Mishnah Torah, or maybe just b'mikre was a Mishnah Torah. So harabi Yehuda ba'ama lo darish, b'mishnah Torah darish. Uba'ama minalan de lo darish. How do we know that he wasn't darshaning in general? He wouldn't darshan smuchin. D'tanya ben azay omer ne'amar machshefa lo techaye. B'ne'amar kol shocheven behema mot yumat. Smachoin yanlo. Ma shocheven behema beskila. Af machshefa beskila. So what do we say? You can't have magic. Okay? Magic can't survive. Okay? Now it also says, right next to it, kol shocheven behema mot yumat. So why do we have smichu parshiot? To teach that just like a shochev in behema you get skila, the machshefa also gets skila. Okay? We don't have a punishment by the machshefa. So they're trying to figure out, how do we know? Everyone agrees the machshefa gets skila. The question is, where do you learn it from? Either you learn it from smichu parshiot, the shochev in behema beskila, so the machshefa is also beskila. Amalei Rabbi Yehuda, v'chi mipnei shesmacho inyan ze notzila ze leskila. He says, how could, just because of smichu parshiot, you're going to make her get skila? In other words, that's crazy, right? Ella, I'm going to give you a much better reason why she gets skila. O v'yedoni b'chlam machshefim hayu. V'yama yatzu, la'akish lahem v'lomar lecha, ma o v'yedoni b'skila, af machshefa b'skila. What do they say? O v'yedoni are one of the types of magics that people would do, right? That's when they raise the people from the dead, like in Shmuel. So, Ovi Yedoni were machshefim, right? It's part of machshef kishuf. So why did they have a special pasuk that talks specifically about the Ovi Yedoni? To say that just like an Ovi Yedoni is beskila, also the machshefa is beskila. Okay? Okay, so now they say, so that proves to us that he's not willing to darshan smuchim, because we see he doesn't agree with the smicho parshiot, and he says it in a way, how could you possibly use smicho parshiot to teach you this? So then they say, but now, how do we know that b'mishnah Torah, he does darshan smuchim? Or b'mishnah Torah minalan de darish, ditznan. Nose adam anusat aviv umifutat aviv. Anusat b'no umifutat b'no. Rabbi Yehuda oser banusat aviv umufutat aviv. Okay, now we're not talking about Yibum here. We're talking about, can you marry a rape victim of your father? Okay? Or if he was consensual rape. Or anusat bino umufutat bino, the rape victim of your son, or consensual rape victim of your son. So according to the Tanakhama, you can marry any of those people. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you can't marry anusat aviv and b'futat aviv. Your father's rape victim, you're not allowed to marry. Va'amar av gidol amarav, my time at Rabbi Yehuda, dechtiv lo yikach ish et eshet aviv, v'lo yigalek knaf aviv. Okay, this pasuk, we're going to see a bunch of things with it, okay? You can't take, right, a person can't take his father's wife, and v'lo yigalek knaf aviv. This second part of the pasuk, you can imagine, right, is very unclear. What do we learn from Lo Yigalek Knaf Aviv? So what do they say here? Kanaf Shera'a Aviv Lo Yigale. Okay, that's what it means. It means anyone, a woman that your father slept with, you can't sleep with. And that's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Why you can't marry Anusat Aviv. Umimai Dib Anusaktiv. How do you know that this pasuk is talking about Anusa, right? Where would you learn that from? Me'iluya dikra, from the pasuk before, because the pasuk before says, dichtiv, v'natan ha'isha shochev ima la'vian ara chamishim kesef. It's the last pasuk in the section about ones, mefate, v'samech le lo yikach ish. Okay, and therefore it says, they say, since that pasuk comes immediately after the rape case, it must be that lo yigalek knaf aviv is talking about a rape victim. So here you see the Rabbi Yehuda darshan smuchim. Now, if you notice, by the way, Rabbi Yehuda didn't say this himself. Rav Gidl said in the name of Rav that this is Rabbi Yehuda's reasoning. Okay, but they're assuming that it must be this is what he thought. For Rabbanan, so then why do they say that you can? They don't darshan smuchim, right? Rabbi Yehuda all along is the one who doesn't darshan smuchim. So why wouldn't Chachamim darshan smuchim? So what do they say? If they really were smuchim, then I would agree with you. But hashta delo samichle, b'shomeret yabama katuv medaber, v'lavor ala b'shnei lavin. What do they say? It's not really samuch. Why is it not samuch? Because the pasuk starts out with first eshet avicha, and then the second part of the pasuk says lo yigalek knaf aviv. So what do you see here? Smuchim should be, right? In theory, they're basically splitting this pasuk in half. There's ones, then there's eshet aviv, and then there's knaf aviv, right? So they say knaf aviv is not really samuch to the ones, okay? And therefore, it's not smich. If it were really samuch, the pasuk started lo yigalek knaf aviv, lo yikach et eshet avicha, right? That would be one thing, but it doesn't do it that way. So therefore, it must be something else. And what's it coming to teach us? Okay, I'm skipping the parentheses because generally parentheses means it wasn't part of the text. Here it actually makes sense if you read the parentheses, but it could be somebody added it in as a note. Right? You can imagine how these additions into the text got in by accident because someone's writing, someone must have written in his notes on the side, right? Delo samichle, why? Dichtiv lo yikach ishet esh david benatayim, right? In between they got in. First of all, I've never seen the lashon benatayim in the Gemara, right? It seems like a very weird, okay? What happened was when people would copy manuscripts, okay, the part of the whole copying of manuscripts, people sometimes wrote notes on the side, you know, and then sometimes the notes on the side ended up becoming part of the text itself. So sometimes that could be why it ended up in the text. Also, when they decided to print the Gemara, the first printed edition and later printed editions, any of these printed editions of text, there was always someone who would amend the text first. They would check it. They would make sure there weren't mistakes, and they would, you know, and sometimes things got added in that way, okay? Either they thought something should be added or they didn't. Anyway, whoever printed this said this section was part of the text I saw before me, but it shouldn't really be in there.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Why is Rabbi Huda's argument about the machshepan taken to mean that he never does smuchim, rather than that he just didn't think this was a very good one?
So that's a good question. I think two reasons. Number one, I'm guessing they had a masoret. The Rabbi Yehuda didn't hold smuchim. I'm assuming that that's the case. Number two, he says, because of smicha, we're going to learn out and give someone a punishment of skila, that he doesn't think smuchim is a good
reason in this case,
right.
Because it's so, because skila
because of
so
the
chumrah
of skila. But I think he's saying we can't learn onashim from skila, from smuchim, I think he's trying to say.
I don't know why.
You don't think that means you can't ever darshan smuchim?
Right,
smuchim.
Just that this case is you need a stronger basis for
something. I think he's saying, I think he's a little bit mizalzel in smichud. He's saying, v'chi mipnesha samchu in yan lo, just because they were next to each other? That's not a convincing argument.
In something as extreme as skila.
Maybe. It could be. But it could be he thinks in general, you know, enough to also say we can docha the lota say of shatnez, you know. Okay. It's tough to know, but you have to assume that they had a masoret about it and knew that that was the case. So now what do they say? So this, what do you use this lo yigalek knaf aviv? B'shomeret yabama katuv medaber v'lav or alav b'shnei lavim. Now what's a shomeret yabama? Okay, here we need our people. First time, only case we need our people today. Okay, we have this woman's married to this man. Okay, what happens? He dies without children. Okay, our usual case. Now, she falls to Yibum with this guy. Okay, actually, let's use this guy because this guy has a little thing on his head. We're going to call him the son because he's got like a funny little thing. Okay, so here's the father, here's the son. She is supposed to do Yibum with the father. Until she does Yibum, she's called a Shomeret Yabam. She's supposed to do Yibum. Now, she never actually does Yibum. Okay? We don't know why. Maybe he dies before she does Yibum. That's a possibility. Okay? She never did Yibum with him. But because she was supposed to do Yibum with the father, she had a connection to her father. So Lo Yigalek Knaf Aviv is teaching you that this son can't marry this woman if she had some sort of connection to the father and was supposed to marry him. Okay? That's what it means. Okay, so just the fact that she was supposed to do Yibum with him means that now if she sleeps with the son, okay, then there's Shnei Lavim in this case. Okay, where are the Shnei Lavim? Number one, it's this one, okay, that the father was you know, she had Yibum with the father. And the second is, I forgot now what the second one was.
A special prohibition against cohabiting with the father's Yevama. First, the prohibition against cohabiting with the father's brother's wife, and secondly, the prohibition against cohabiting with the father's Yevama.
But she wasn't the father's wife. Oh, the father's brother's wife. All right. That's the holy day. Yeah. The uncle. Right, because she was married to the uncle, and you're not allowed to marry someone who is married to your father's brother. It was, you know, she could never have married the son in any case because the son was
married.
Right. The son was his uncle was married to her, and that you can't do. So, therefore, in this case, there would be two. It would be both from there and because she was supposed to be even with the father. Okay. Uba Mishnah Torah, my time at the Darish. Now, why was he darshing a Mishnah Torah? Now, again, this is where I said the Gemara should have said, what's unique about Mishnah Torah? But instead, they just bring a case where he darshan smuchim in Mishnah Torah. So where is it? We already saw that case, right? Where he darshan in Mishnah Torah. Okay? That was the case of the Anusat Aviv and Mefutat Aviv, right? And there he darshaned. And then, what do we say now? Why did he darshan it in that case, right? Why? And again, we're not going to see because Mishnah Torah has a unique, although you might say, maybe it does have to do with Mishnah Torah, because you'll see in a minute. They give two answers. Now, it could be, one could say, that these two things of muchach or mufne are because of the redundancy of the fact that Mishnah Torah repeats things, so it allows, it calls it mufne. If you remember mufne, mufne means it's panoi. You don't really need it for the pshat, so it must be that we need it for a drasha, or we can use it for a drasha. And muchach is it's proven from the fact that it's here. We'll see in a minute. It can be proven. Why can it be proven? It should have been listed in the pasuk about the arayot, right? This pasuk sounds exactly like one of the arayot pasukim. Lo yigalek knaf, right? Lo yikach isha deshet avicha, velo yigalek knaf avicha, right? Or aviv, or however appears there, but it basically sounds like, right? Eshet aviv, velo yigalek knaf aviv. So it should have been in the Arayot. So the fact that it appears here, and this is why I said it is sort of related to Mishnah Torah, because it's putting it in a different place. The fact that it appears here must be that it comes to teach us smuchim. V'ibaydeim mishum d'mufne. Why is it unnecessary? De'im ken lichtav rachmana lo yikach ish et eshet aviv lo yigalek naf aviv lamali. The second part of that pasuk, right? It already said eshet aviv. What's this lo yigalek naf aviv? Totally unnecessary. Shmamina lafnuye. So it must be that it's panui. Okay. V'gabei tzitzit nami. Now tzitzit also. You can say the same thing, right? Here we're going to say, just like he darshan smuchim there, tzitzit also he can darshan. Okay? That's why, if you remember, to go back for a minute, they said, whoever doesn't darshan smuchim does darshan in a Mishnah Torah. And our case of tzitzit is in Mishnah Torah. So this case also he darshans. Now, why would he darshan the tzitzit case? You could say the same thing. Ibaydeim mishum demuchach, ibaydeim mishum demufne. Ibaydeim mishum demuchach, de'im ken lichtabe rachmana gabe prashat tzitzit. It's proven, because also, just like that pasuk should have belonged in the Arayot, this pasuk, Dilim Taselacha, should have belonged, you know, its perfect place would have been Parashat Tzitzit in Sefer Bamidbar. So, Lamaya Hilchata Katvehacha, it must be to teach you smuchim. V'ibaytema mishum de mufne. Why is it mufne? And this we're going to have a few questions about. Is it really mufne or not? Michte katav ubege kilaim. Shanez lo yale alecha, lo tibas shanez lamali, shmamina lafnuye. Okay, for this we have to know the psukim. So let's look at the psukim. In Vayikra Yud Tet, it says, if you have the Torah or on the side, it says it, in Aleph, et chukotai tishmoru, behem techa lo tarbiya kilayim, sadcha lo tizra kilayim, ubege kilayim shanez lo yale alecha. Okay, so we're going to learn a few things about this psukim. Okay, beged, Kilaim shatnez. Okay, that's not an important word for our purposes. Beged kilaim shatnez lo yale alecha. Okay, we're going to talk a lot about this beged and the lo yale alecha. Okay, so it already appears in Vayikra Yutet. And therefore, when it says lo tilbash shatnez in our pasuk, okay, let's put our whole pasuk on the board also. Lo tilbash shatnez. Semer ufishtin yachtav, right? That's it. Semer ufishtin yachtav. Okay? So now, this pasuk is totally unnecessary because it already says it. Okay? So, they're going to question this though. Shmamin alaf nuye. So therefore, it's panoy. So we have the exact two right things. Either it's proven because it doesn't appear in its regular place, or even if you say, right, that's something, some other reason, it's totally unnecessary. We already said it. So now what do they say? Or right, in this case, we already said it. In the previous case, lo yigalek naf aviv, that pasuk, right, that part of the pasuk is unnecessary because the first part of the pasuk already said the same idea. So now what do they say? No, hane mitzrach tzricha. You actually do need these two. Why do you need these two? De'i katav rachmana lo ya'ale alecha. This here we're going to come to the halacha we had in the past. Hava amina kol derech ha'ala'a asa rachmana. Va'afilu mechrei chsut. Do you remember these people? The people who sell clothes, they're allowed to wear shatnez to model off their clothing because they're not wearing it for the purposes of keeping their bodies warm or covering their bodies. Right? Generally, it's meant that they're keeping their bodies warm. So if it just said lo ya'alelech, it sounds like not for wearing purposes, but for any purposes. You would have thought that was aser, and it's not aser. So kata rachmana lo tilbash shatnez, dumia de livisha de it be hana'a. It has to be livisha that has hana'a. That you're getting pleasure from it, not that you're modeling clothing for the purposes of selling them. So then they say, well, okay, we could have just said lo tilbash then, right? Why do you need lo yale alecha? Be kata rachmana lo tilbash, hava mina dafka livisha de nafish hanayata. Now, there's two ways of wearing something, right? You can wear clothes like we're all wearing clothes right now, or you can throw something over your shoulders, which isn't really considered wearing, and that's an in-between, right? So what do they say? The lo ya'ale alecha comes to teach you that when there's, you know, tzat hana'a, right? There's three cases. There's no hana'a, you're just selling it and you're modeling it. That is out. Wearing it regular is obviously in. And the middle case that you need both of them to teach you, right, is the case of throwing something over your shoulders, even if, right, if you're throwing something over your shoulders because you're cold and you want to keep warm, that's for the purposes of keeping warm, and it's not maybe necessarily levisha, but it is lo yaleh alecha, and therefore also that you can't use shatnez. That's why you need them both. So therefore, they're not pnuyim. Okay, so now they're going to say, ah, but there's something else that's unnecessary in that pasuk. Okay? Im ken lichtav rachmana, lo tilvash shatnez. This pasuk should have just said, lo tilvash shatnez, right? Why do you need samer ufishtin yachtav? Okay, why don't you need it? Okay, you would say, well, you need it because it needs to tell you which begadim can't you put together, right? We know, right, we all wear begadim that have mixtures of materials, right? If you look at it, almost any clothing, right? Very few things are 100% cotton, right? They're mixtures, okay? By the way, you're going to see today that there was one thought that maybe there's an opinion that all those things have shatnez, okay? Lucky for us, that's not the case. We'd have trouble finding clothes to wear nowadays. But anyway, what do you see here? Betana debe. Okay. Michte katab ubigdek salim shatnez lo ya'ale alecha. Vitana debe Rabbi Ishmael ho ilvenemru b'torah stam begadim uperet lecha katu be'echa mehem tzemer ufishtim af kol tzemer ufishtim. So tzemer ufishtim de katab rachmana lamali shmamina lafnuye. Okay, now they're going to basically try to prove that it's not the lo tilvash shatnez that's unnecessary. That we need. Right? We just proved that we need it. But the tzemer ufishtin yachtav you don't need. Now you might say, well, you need it because the first pasuk just says beged. It doesn't tell you what kind of material. But Tana Debe Rabbi Yishmael says that anytime it says beged in the Torah, it's like the one beged where it's actually mentioned what it is. Where does that appear? In Nigaei Begadim. Okay, Mitzora on your clothes. Okay, you have leprosy on your clothing. It says either pishtim or tzemer. And we learn from there to any beged, according to Debe Rabbi Yishmael. Not everybody agrees with him, but according to Debe Rabbi Yishmael, we learn from there that anytime it says beged in the Torah, it means semer ufishtin. And therefore, if this says beged, it's basically equivalent to the pasuk having said semer ufishtin. And if it's equivalent to saying semer ufishtin, then what do we know? That this is unnecessary. And but that's what's panoi in the pasuk.
But in that pasuk, it doesn't say tzemer and pishtim. It says obeged tzemer, obeged
pishtim.
Right.
Right, but it's the same thing. This doesn't mean, it means what shatnez, you need two materials for something to be shatnez. So what begadim do we know about? Either tzemer or pishtim. Those are the two begadim we know about. So if you're talking about shatnez, it's got to be with those two materials. That's the assumption. So now they say, okay, so it's lafnuye. Then they say, no, no, no. It's still not necessarily lafnuye. Why? Akate itzterich. You still need it. Salkada tachamina ha'alahi delo nafishanata. Aval levisha de nafishanayata. Kol tre mile asa rachmana. Kata rachmana tsemru fishtin. What do they say? We already said that there's a difference between lo yale alecha and lo tobas shatnez, right? One has, the lo yale is a little bit of hana'ah. And the lo tilvash is a lot of hana. So what do they say? Very smart. Where it says beged, it has to be tzemer ufishtim, is only when there's a little bit of hana, and then we're going to limit the isur. It's only with these two materials. But when you're going to have a lot of hana because you're actually wearing it, there we can extend it to any materials. And that's why the pasuk has to specifically tell you when it comes to levisha, that all material, that it's not all materials, and it's only tzemer ufishtim. And therefore, it's not extra. The Gemara challenges this and says, "Im kein lishtoch kramine." And the pasuk just shouldn't say anything. V'teitei shatnez, shatnez mehala'a. But what's noticeable here? That shatnez appears in this pasuk, and shatnez appears in this pasuk. If that's the case, and it doesn't say anything, you would assume that whatever it says shatnez, this says shatnez. Shatnez must be, tzemer ufishtin must be the same. So that's not a good proof, in which case, again, it's unnecessary. V'tana debe Rabbi Yishmael, in other words, we learned shatnez shatnez mehala, and then they're just continuing with something we know is obvious. V'tana debe Rabbi Yishmael, tamat katav rachman et semru fishtin, halapachi, V'tana debe Rabbi Yishmael, tamat katav rachman et semru fishtin, Sorry. V'tana d'ber Rabbi Yishmael, period. Okay? Plus, the tana d'ber Rabbi Yishmael, you have to say that you do this Zerav Shanesh Shanesh, whatever's true of one is true of the other, and the Beged is Semer Fishtin, because that's what Tana Deber Rabbi Yishmael said. Right? This is Rabbi Yishmael's opinion. And if you say that, and you put those two together, then you can say that it's unnecessary. Okay? So now they're going to say, Kaha. Tama dekata brahman et Semer Fishtin. Halav hachi, kilayin b'tzitzit, hava mina de asra rachmana. V'haktiv, v'asu lahem tzitzit, al kanfei b'gdehem. Okay, so now, the reason they said semru fishtin, right? It's a teacher semru fishtin, but without that, what would you have thought? Kilayin b'tzitzit, hava mina de asra rachmana. Wait, 1 second. Look what the mahalach is going on here for. So you know what? I did read this wrong. Okay. Okay, the last section ends with Lishcha Kramine Vitete Shane Shane's Mehala. You didn't need the time to bear Rabbi Yishmael there. I guess that's just, I mean, it still makes sense that way, but that's fine. That's obvious. So now they're going to ask a question on the. 1 second. Okay, now they're going to ask a question on this fact that this ase dachalota ase and that semru fishtin is miyutar. Okay, so and that it's dafka lefishi tatra bi tana deber bi Yishmael. Okay, so v'tana deber bi Yishmael. So tama, the whole basis, according to his opinion, is because, right, according to what we just said now, the whole basis is because it says semru fishtin, right? But without that, what would we have thought? If it didn't say that, kilayin b'tzitzit hava mina da asra rachmana, would we have, right, if we didn't think that, would you have thought that you could wear tzitzit, right? The whole thing was that we were darshan smuchim because it's panui. B'haktiv, doesn't it say, basu lahem tzitzit al kanfei b'gdehem, v'tana debei Rabbi Yishmael, they themselves say, Kol begadim semru fishtin hem, right? That's what we learned. Va'amar rachmana avid leitzchelet utchelet amrehu. What do you see here? It says you should put tzitzit al kanfei b'gdehem, okay? And it says v'nanu al tzitzit hakana petil tchelet, right? So what do you see here? Tchelet is semer, and the assumption is that your beged that you're talking about is pishtin. So they're saying, you don't even need this, because the pasuk itself, where it talks about tzitzit in Sefer Bamidbar, is all, right, the pasuk itself proves that it's semer and fishtin together. How does it prove it? Because we say, we're going to learn in a minute how this is, but we say that the tzitzit, right, on kafei bigdehem, what do we say a beged is? Semer or fishtin, right? And what is the techelet? The tchelet is made of wool, okay? How do we know the tchelet is made of wool? This is a very famous halakha, right? Where does this come from? We're going to learn it right now. Umi mai tchelet amrehu, midashesh kitna tchelet amrehu. By the begadim of the Kohen Gadol, right, he has to wear the shesh. What's the shesh? The shesh, we learn, is kitna, which is really pishtim, okay? It's flax. Now, if that's the case, then when he has also tchelet, right, he wears... There's a, right, it also, 1 second, the Kohen Gadol, it says, right, 1 second, it says, I guess the tchelet doesn't come up there, but the point is that if that's pishtin, then the tchelet must be the other material, which is tzemer, okay? So they say the shesh is the pishtim, and therefore, because the assumption again is that there's only two types of begadim, it's either tzemer or fishtim. So the tchelet must be tzemer. So that's tchel amru. And then they say, so this is all basically a question on the Tana Deber Rabbi Yishmael. Why do you need to learn it from, according to Tana Deber Rabbi Yishmael, you can learn it from the Pasukim Bamidbar, you don't need to learn it from the Smichu Parshiot. So then they say, no, itzterich. Why do you need it? So why do you need this drasha of the smuchim also? Salka da tachamina kidirava. Dirava, you might have thought that he would hold like Rava. Now, you can't think that it's not really that he would hold like Rava, because we know the times where Rabbi Yishmael doesn't hold like Rava. But you might have thought, we'll see, we'll talk about it after, but there's a bit of a problem with that. The Gemara is going to ask a question on that. But now they're saying, you might have thought that they would hold like Rava. What did Rava say? De Rava, Rami Ktiv. Rava says that there's a contradiction between two psukim. Hakanaf, min kanaf. Okay, sorry. There's not a contradiction between two psukim. The pasuk says hakanaf, tzitzit hakanaf. Okay, which means it sounds like the tzitzit has to be made min kanaf, from the material that the beged is made from. Okay? Uktiv, semer ufishtim. It also says semer ufishtim, haketzad. So what do they say? Semer ufishtim potrim ben biminam ben shalo biminam. Sharminim biminam potrim shalo biminam ein potrim. Rava learns here that Rava, okay, and this is what we're going to say, that Rava clearly doesn't hold by the Tanit Be'er Rishmael, because he thinks tzitzit can be of any material. This is where I said that there's this opinion that says that shatnez is any material, and also, well, maybe he doesn't say that shatnez, he's just saying that tzitzit are any material. So what would you have thought that Rebbe is? Does it relate to shatnez? One second. Right, no, it actually doesn't relate to shatnez. It's really just saying that the mitzvah of tzitzit, okay, there's two ways you can do it. It depends on what material clothing you have. If your clothing is semer ufishtin, then you can do semer ufishtin. It doesn't matter. You could have pishtin and you could do it with semer. You could have semer and do it with pishtin. That's fine. But if your baget is any other material, you could only do tzitzit with that material. That's what he wanted to learn. So therefore, we need the Tana, right? We need, that's why we say that the Tzemer, one second, the Itzdrich, you need both Psukim to teach you that it's only Tzemer Ufishtin. Because Rava thought that it could be any material. And just that Tzemer Ufishtin had a unique halacha, right? That Tzemer Ufishtin means that you could do it Ben B'minam, Ben Shalom B'minam. But the any other material has to be done in its chut. So now, what did they say? But wait, but how could you say that according to Tana Debei Rabbi Yishmael, we need this so that you wouldn't think he holds like Rava? Tana Debei Rabbi Yishmael, late de Rava. Clearly he doesn't hold like Rava, because Rava says that you can do it with any material, and he says any beged in the Torah is semer ufishtin. You wouldn't ever think that there was a havamina that could be some other beged. So what did they say? Itzrich. Sakadata hamina ki diyuka de Rava ha kanaf min kanaf. You might have thought, of course, Tana Debei Rabbi Yishmael thinks it's only Tzemer or Fishtim, right? But what might you have thought? That he might hold that if it's Tzemer, then it has to be Tzemer. And if it's Pishtim, it has to be Pishtim. And therefore, you need Tzemer or Fishtim to tell you that it's either or, okay? And that it doesn't, the Min Kanaf would teach you, it has to be the, right? The Ha Kanaf would be Min Kanaf. The Tzemer Fishtin comes saying no. It could be Tzemer or Fishtin, and the Chut could be, right, that it doesn't have to be the same mean. V'achikamer. Rachmana avid le Tzemer le Tzemer u'fishtin le Fishtin. V'chi avid le Tzemer le Tzave. Aval Tzemer le Fishtin u'fishtin le Tzemer lo. That's what you might have thought, that right, that Tzemer was just coming to tell you the color, like the Tzchelet was just coming to tell you the color, and not necessarily the material. Right? And Tzemer lefishtin, but pishtin letzemer you couldn't do. And therefore, kachav rachmana tzemer ufishtin, dafilu tzemer lepishtin, upishtin letzemer. Okay? So that comes to teach you that you still need the, right? This is all, just one second, to follow our train of thought. This is to show you, because right, we tried to say that it's not unnecessary, because you really need the tzemer and the pishtin. Right? And then,
because at first they were saying shatnez. I thought they were trying to disprove the gezera shava of shatnez and shatnez, because it was intuitive in the tzitzit itself, because it had the tchelet, that by the virtue of how you make tzitzit, you know that it has tzemer ufishtin.
Yeah.
And so then how do you then, then I sort of lost it. Because
okay. Yeah, so I didn't get the whole order clear. Let's just go back for a minute.
At
so
first, because they were proving it was a gezera shava, shatnez and shatnez.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That was the conclusion.
Right.
And then
no, but they were trying to show is that it's that they Not that it's a gzera shava, that you didn't need it. Because if you didn't, right, the whole question is, do we need these words, semer fish in the pasuk, or do we not need them? So they said, we don't need them because you could have just learned shatnez, right, that whatever's true for there is true for there. That's why you don't need these words. Because without these words, you still would have known it's semer fishtim from beged. Because, right, because beged is semer fishtim.
Right.
So they end with that. But now they're trying to say that this is unnecessary, semer fishtim. You still don't need it.
Correct. Because by the way you read tzitzit.
Exactly. Vasula and tzitzit, al-gafei b'tehem, and the tchelet is the wool, and the beged is the pishtim. But then, I guess what they're trying to say in the end is that, no, it's not so clear that the beged that the tchelet is the wool and the beged is the pishtim, because it really could be either or. Right? That's what they're really saying in the end, I think, because they're saying...
It's because of the min knaf, and what does the min knaf mean? Does it mean that the tzitzit has to match the corner or not?
I see what they're saying. Now, they're... Okay, right, maybe... No. You know what? It's not... One second. The tzitzit machine... I see. This is what... Okay. I'm going to fine-tune the question from the beginning. Okay? Until now, we were trying to show that it's unnecessary, right? And we have to show it's unnecessary. You didn't need those words, and that's where we ended. This section is basically saying that why do you even need the extra words to teach you this halacha of shatnez, right? That you can do tzitzit with shatnez. Because you could have learned, in other words, not that these words are necessary or unnecessary. This whole pasuk, you don't even need to teach us that tzitzit can be made with shatnez. Why not? Because you have the pasuk, v'asulahem tzitzit ha-kamfei b'tehem, and you put a p'til tchelet, and that pasuk in and of itself already teaches you the halacha that it can be done with shatnez. And you don't even need everything we just said, basically. You can learn ata asa v'docha lo ta'aseh, basically, from the pasuk of v'ayulachem l'tzitzit ha-kamfei b'tehem. Okay? That whole thing. And then they tell you no, because if you just had that pasuk, you would have thought like Rava, that because there it says hakanaf, and then you would have thought that it has to be semer with semer or pishtin with pishtin, okay? And again, according to Rava, it could be any material, right? That's a whole different thing. But the concept of Rava that we can darshan hakanaf, and as remember, he doesn't hold exactly like Rava, because Rava holds it can be done with any material, and he says it's only semer pishtin. But forgetting about that, what's the chiddush of Rava? Rava is that if it's one material, it has to be the same chut, of the same material. And therefore, you couldn't have learned it from the pasuk in Bamidbar, and you need to come back and have this pasuk to teach you the drasha. That's why you need the drasha bichlal of the smichu parshiot, because you couldn't have learned it from Bamidbar, because if you learned it from Bamidbar, you might have thought that it means Tzemer has to be Tzemer, Pishtin has to have Pishtin. In other words, yes, you have an option of two begadim, but not together, okay? So from a kanap petil tchelet, you would have learned that either Tzemer goes with Tzemer, Pishtin goes with Pishtin, or at least you can't necessarily learn it from there. And therefore, you need a pasuk where it's a very clear drasha that once you say Tzemer, Pishtin, Yachdav, then it becomes clear that it's Tzemer, Pishtin, Yachdav. That they go together in the Beged Tzitzit, and not that Tzemer goes with Tzemer, Pishtin goes with Pishtin. Okay, that's the conclusion then. So the whole question was, just to repeat, do you even need this whole drasha, this Michut? And in the end they say, yes, you do need it, because you would have come to a possibly incorrect assumption from the Pasukim Bamidbar of Hakanaf.